Blog Talk Radio.
Time is taking flight.
Welcome to the weekly conversation. I'm Kyle. I like to play that song, so it's cool. It's Blind as Vine is the name of the band, and it's their album Desire to Destroy, and it's a great album. So I just wanted to get that out there. This week on the conversation, whoever thought Trump would still be on top? I'll get into that. Is he for real now that he's still in it? Also, Americans finally waking up a little bit too late, probably, as some of these people in the viral videos who adamantly lived for Obama now have a second opinion about him. Also, blizzards in the Midwest, tornadoes in the East, 40s, 20s, and 30s, and even, you know, teens in parts of the Midwest that over the weekend will get up to 60 degrees. I'll get into that. Canada judge actually says medical marijuana patients should be able to grow their own cannabis. Another victory. Are the days of evil cannabis going to the wayside as people actually see the benefits of the plant? A Sanders supporter cries because she has to deal with knowledgeable Trump supporters who know their facts. And the iPhone unlocking debate. That and much, much more. So welcome to the conversation. Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. Psalms 119:2. The New Living Translation. Think about that as you're kind of going through your day to day. Welcome. What a wonderful program we have. I want to thank you all for tuning in. This is an amazing program. I want to thank my lovely wife last week for being a co-host with me. I think she did pretty good, you know. It's her first time. She's never really done it, but she's always like, when I'm going through this, she'll always say something, and, you know, so I thought it would be fun to get her in there and give her amazing two cents, because she was brought up like I was, to think. I guess that's, like, I took a restaurant law class, and that was the hardest class ever, because, okay, you're in the second floor window. You're in the second floor hotel room, and a baby is leaning up against the window, and it has like one of those screens that lets the window open but lets air come in but keeps the bugs out. The baby falls and dies. Is it the hotel's fault because the screen wasn't strong enough to hold the baby, or was it the parent's fault for not watching the baby? And they'd have all these cases, and you had to look up stuff and form your opinion. Then they would say, okay, now here is the book. This is court case, you know, Williamson Family versus Holiday Inn, 1974, whatever the year was. And you would have to see what you came up with compared to what the actual judge found. And the, you know, so it's very, 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 very interesting, but it got you to think. And that people don't think today, you know, they praise and congratulate Kim Jong-un for a hydrogen bomb test, but they don't sit there and think, even if it's the U.S., they should have said, what do you mean hydrogen bomb? Is that something that they do? Is it like a homonym for like a reactor that's producing energy that we can use? You know, I mean, people don't think anymore. And it's just crazy. And that's what I guess I was brought up around. I mean, actually, this is what, but it's thank God. I don't know if you remember the University of Missouri, that journalism professor, Melissa Click, that went ballistic over a guy filming. They were having a rally or protest thing, and she told them to get out of there, and she's finally been fired. It took this long, over a year, but she's finally been fired. But let me tell you, you know, if that guy was supporting their cause, she'd have been praising them. But since she was against it and going, it's just a double standard. I mean, I'm glad she's fired. They need to realize that that's unacceptable. The students do. I'm just surprised it took that long. I mean, I guess I look at it like this. I have a buddy, Malcolm Brooks, and he's I like him a lot, but he's very, very liberal, and he will always get on me, you know, because I post stuff against Obama. But deep down, he goes, he knows I have the right to say what I have the freedom of speech. You know, he always joking me, man, you better not be posting stuff about Obama anymore. I'm like, okay, well then don't post negative stuff about conservatives. But you know, he genuinely knows that I have the right to say what I want to say, and so does he. And we give each other crap, but I mean, he knows deep down that he's never going to change my opinion, my views, because, you know, I'm not like a Nancy Pelosi or a Hillary Clinton or Harry Reid or one of them that changes their opinion every time they need a vote, you know.
You have a brain,
you use
it.
Yeah, you know. And that's,
I think.
Yep, and that's how it is. You know, I mean, but it's just to take that long to fire someone for what they, I mean, that's wrong. But, you know, this is kind of very, very new. I wanted to get into this really quick. Mark Zuckerberg actually wrote a letter to his employees because they were taking the Black Lives Matter thing and crossing it out and put All Lives Matter. Mark Zuckerberg's basically like, well, Black Lives Matter doesn't mean that other lives don't matter. It means simply that it's asking the black community to also achieve the justice they deserve. I support it in one case. If, like, these cases, there was actually wrongful shootings where, okay, this cop actually did something in the wrong, then the color doesn't matter. But if they, you know, if this cop would have shot this person and you could prove that he used excessive force, then he should be punished for the crime. Not because, you know, there's 404 blacks killed in Chicago by other blacks, but that life doesn't matter. Those 404 don't matter because it doesn't fit an agenda. That's the problem I have with Black Lives Matters, because they're about a political agenda. They're not about, okay, all, you know, like, well, if this happens or that, you know, if the white guy is killed.
Why she was fired is because donations to the school plummeted down below past $2 million. They lost over $2 million in donations, is why they finally fired her.
Wow. Well, that Melissa Glick, I guess she was, as my wife was switching topics on me, she basically said, no, it's not, but I guess it took $2 million losing donations to fire her. So if they weren't losing donations, would they have kept her? It's just like this Black Lives Matter thing. If they were sitting there and they were outraged about the blacks being killed by other blacks, I'd be, okay, I'll march with you. I'll stand with you because you're against every black life, not just only the two or three that are killed by a white person, and half of them are pretty much all of them are justifiable. Like, when you go back to Trayvon Martin and these people say, oh, this happened, that happened, and they said, well, you're going to have to recount your story because we haven't even released the forensics, but, okay, everything you're telling us does not match the forensics. There were no shots to the back, but you claim he was getting shot at by a police officer from the back. Oh, well, we heard people say that, so we're just saying what they said. We don't, you know, hopefully they got obstruction of justice for lying. But, you know, I mean, it goes back to this Nancy Pelosi thing where she was basically asked. Okay, let me. Nancy Pelosi was asked by reporters, basically, is there a double standard? Because when Democrats tried to block Republicans who were trying to nominate a Supreme Court nominee, the Republicans were doing the same thing. Democrats are doing the same thing Republicans are now, and Republicans say it's wrong. The Constitution says that the president elects the Supreme Court, next person for the Supreme Court if we need one. That's what they're saying now, but when we tried as Republicans or conservatives to try to get someone into the Supreme Court, they were like, no. They tried to block and tried to do everything the Republicans are doing now. See, it was okay when they were trying to not when they were trying to block a Republican Supreme Court nominee. It was okay for them to block it, but when we're trying to block it, oh, it's wrong. How dare you? And it's just, it's a double standard. You know, we're $19 trillion in debt, $20 trillion in debt, dang near, and it's, you know, it's not one party's fault. I mean, I'm just getting this into my earphone, okay? Republicans and Democrats, they all suck, okay? They don't care, that's just in. In case you didn't get the memo. That's where we're at, folks, you know. I have friends that are still very progressive, but they still, every once in a while, will post something about both parties stink. You know, I mean, is Donald Trump really a, because everyone thought, you know, it's not going to last. He's not going to go anywhere. He's not, you know, he may be up at the top, but he's going to fade, and in a month or two, he's going to be like gone with the wind, and he is at the top. And I mean, even in states where, okay, this is where Governor Kasich's home state, and he's actually, when they've done surveys, he's polling, Donald Trump is higher than Kasich or higher than Marco Rubio in their home state, where they should win handfully. You know, I think he's a real deal candidate. I don't agree with anyone. Yeah, I would love to see Marco Rubio get it, but I can't. There's not one candidate that I can say 100% of what they say I support. I liked a lot of things that, you know, Marco Rubio says. I like a lot of things that Trump says. I like a lot of things that Ben Carson says. I like a lot of things that, you know, Ted Cruz says. And I like some things that Jeb Bush would have done. And I like some things that, you know, Chris Christie said, I don't want him to be president because Chris Christie president because he said this. I don't want to have, you know, Ted Cruz president because he said this, or Marco Rubio because he said that. But if you take a little bit of every one of them, I like a lot of what all of them said, but they all probably said something that I didn't agree with. Even Trump. Yeah, I like him for certain things, but then there's other things I'm like, okay. But anyone that's a progressive that says, well, he's Looney Tunes, well, then show me how Bernie Sanders is not Looney Tunes. That dude, I mean, you could give me a 10 strip of acid and I'd probably be more with it than Bernie Sanders is. I'm just saying. You know, I mean, well, what we got to do here is we got to give these terrorists jobs and they'll stop shooting each other. And we got to fix global warming, too, because that will stop terrorism, you know, this darn global warming. Even though NASA photos show that the ice is actually growing. And when they did actual core samples, it had nothing to do with global warming testing at all. They just did core samples. Let's find out what's in the Earth in different spots. And what did they find out? The North and South Poles, they could prove were water at one point in our history. That's why when I was in school, in earth science, they talked about there were periods where this planet was like an ice age, and there were times where this planet was very, very warm, and they believe we're actually going into a cycle where the Earth is a lot warmer than it normally is. And then it'll go back to a cycle where it gets very cold again. So, you know, if I was making $50 million a year off of global warming, I'd say it was happening too, but I'm not. Yes, it is. That's why in Michigan they had 7, 8, 9, 10 inches of snow. In Lafayette we got about 3 to 4 inches, depending, and further north you got more, and it was 20-something, and come the weekend it's going to be high of 61. That's why they say, folks, if you don't like the weather in Indiana, wait 5 minutes, it'll change. And, yep. That's how it is, folks. It's called weather. Yeah. Wow. And it's just nuts, because, like, there was all over the East Coast, there was tornadoes and all kinds of stuff. It was bad. And, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with just all the people and all the stuff with all this, because it's, you know, it's just crazy what's going on, and, you know. But that's this global warming we have, you know, it's buy that global warming. You know, if you buy that global warming, I'll sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. I'll give you a deal on it. But is it a little bit too late? I don't know if you remember, it was in 2012, the Obama phone lady. I got a phone. Obama gave me a phone. We keep Obama in president. Anyone in Cleveland who's a minority, who's on welfare and food stamps, he gave us a phone, got a phone, he gave me a phone, Obama gave me a phone, I got a phone, Romney, he sucks. What don't you like about Romney? He sucks bad. And then 2013, she was on Alex Jones' show, InfoWars. And when he started showing her, well, this is him saying, we're not going to raise taxes. Remember when Bush was basically crucified for no new taxes? When taxes went up, he was crucified for it. Well, where's Obama getting crucified? He said, we're not going to raise taxes, da-da-da. Anyone over 250, anyone making under 250,000, your taxes will not go up. This will not, you know. And all these people that supported him like her, well, my taxes have gone up, this has gone up, I'm making less money. You know, even that lady that was interviewed that, like, as long as I have Obama, he'll take care of me. I don't have to worry about paying my bills. But as soon as he got elected, she's like, well, wait a minute. My mortgage is more expensive. My health care is more expensive. This has gone up. That's gone up. Everything's gone up. But, you know, but it's like, to me, it's too late. Because now that they see the light, he's already done his damage. You know, and it's, but at least they're waking up. And, you know, and they're starting to, that's what I like. At least there are people that are waking up and they're, well, maybe they'll question that everything is free. Well, I'm going to, because, I mean, when Bernie Sanders talks about, well, free health care and free education and free, nothing is free in this world. But then they're going to, well, since I was given free college tuition, I should be given a job. It's an entitlement. They're going to, well, if I'm entitled to free education or free health care, I should be entitled to have a job. And I should be the CEO, because that's what's going to happen. Folks, you can get, there are lots of great jobs out there if you want to be a welder or a plumber or a pipe fitter, or if you want to work on the trains, if you want to be a carpenter, wants to work with their hands. Everyone wants to go to college so that they can sit in their $42 billion office and be a CEO. No one wants to work anymore. You know, when our forefathers came here, they didn't have anyone to rely on. They came to this country to get away from everything that you liberals want. If we wanted this free health care and this free government and free food and free everything and free college and free education, free all this stuff, we should have just stayed in England. No, we came here because we wanted to get away from that. That's why Benjamin Franklin took and went around to everyone and said, we're going to collect money. And a bunch of those people did. They collected money. Why? To start a hospital near Philadelphia in Pennsylvania that still runs to this day, because they could have just said, no, we're going to have the government fund it. We're just going to have the government. No, no, they wanted to have it run. They wanted to take the and start it and run it. They didn't want to rely on anybody. That's what everyone just... I know somebody that he was on this housing assistance, where if you make under this much with two people, you can get assistance with your housing. Because he worked at a job that gave him time and a half on this one holiday, he made like $4 more than he legally could to stay on this program, and they went after him for like $3,000 for all this back rent that they said he would have to pay back because he made more than this program allowed. And he goes, well, I'm going to have to leave this apartment. The only way I can afford to live here with my wife and my kid is through this program. He goes, how am I going to, I don't, this program was the only way I was able to stay here. How am I going to come up? How am I going to get this money to pay back? It's like, okay, I've finally got a little extra money so I can possibly put it away for a rainy day. And, well, yeah, you made just enough to where you're over the amount you can make on this, so you're going to have to pay back all this rent and all this stuff. It's a trap. When Lyndon B. Johnson started the war on poverty, like I said last week, the rates were going down. I feel like a lot of these programs are sort of like the coal mine. Oh, don't worry. Go to the general store and take out a loan to get what you need. And then you'll never, it's like those people that do the check and the cash. Yeah, get a payday loan. And they've shown people that got a $100 payday loan and then they were bankrupt because they could never get out of, they could never, the interest was so high and stuff that they could never get out of that debt. That $100 loan that they got to pay a bill or something, they could never get, most people end up bankrupt because, okay, well, now the interest in this, and before you know it, it multiplies, and then they can't afford it. They can't, you know, that's the problem we have. You know, some of these programs, I think, are designed to make you, they're not really designed to help you. They're designed to keep you in this government system. Sort of like when they sat there and they said, okay, well, we can't keep alcohol illegal. These Mexicans coming across the border, and black jazz musicians and stuff are associated with this it's cannabis. Let's call it marijuana and let's demonize it and make it evil. And then I can make it illegal, and then I can sit there and I can do all this stuff to ensure that finally states come on board to make it illegal. And what happens is one simple thing. Now that I've got it illegal, now I can ask for money for this new organization. I can't go to Congress and say, I need millions of dollars to fight what? Alcohol is not illegal anymore. Well, there's this new evil drug, marijuana. And that's, you know, we need, hey, our state needs money. How do we keep these people on this program? Because you don't want to have, how can you keep getting money for a program if someone's going to be able to take this program, use it, they're going to benefit from it, and in 6 months to a year, they're off it and they're doing great. You know, how much tobacco sales would you get if there was no, if nicotine wasn't addictive, tobacco would have no benefit. It would have no, because, okay, it's dangerous, I'm not smoking anymore, you throw it away. But if you have a hard time quitting because it's addictive, there's where the, okay, now you're a repeat customer. And that's what I think a lot of the government, a lot of these programs, I think are designed to keep the people on the program, not help get them off. But hey, what do I know? You know, I'm just an American on a radio show that has a brain and I use it. You know, I guess back like when I was in high school, as I move on, you know, and they said like, well, you know that smoking a joint is the equivalent to like a carton of unfiltered cigarettes. But then they would always sit there, well, you know, I'm not a doctor, nor are you, and we don't really have enough scientific information whether or not marijuana has any medical value. Really? Because I was always told like 3 years earlier that it's so deadly and so dangerous that if you smoke it, you might as well smoke a carton of unfiltered cigarettes because it's just as bad smoking one joint. But then when you try to bring up any medical argument about it. Oh, well, we don't have enough testing on it. We don't really know if it's safe or not. You know, we have to do way more testing. Okay, well, then how can you tell me that you have to do all this testing to find out if marijuana is safe or not when I was always told that, oh, it's so deadly that, you know, smoking one joint is the equivalent of like a carton of unfiltered cigarettes or something. I forget what it was. It was such BS, you know. Especially when people like Irvin Rosenfeld and others were getting it free from the government, you know, and they were using it. But when you try to look into it and talk to them about the program, they won't even acknowledge it. They won't even, nope, we're not going to, they won't talk about it, won't say anything about it. So, but it's one of those things, because now in Canada, as if you haven't heard, a judge actually agrees that medical marijuana patients should have the right to grow their own cannabis. I don't know. I'm too lazy. I just want to be able to go get it. And here you go. This is because I'm not that green thumbed enough to know if I could ever grow my own. You know, okay, well, how do I, you know, what chemicals do I use? You know, when do I add this? When do I add that? You know, I just want to be able to go get it and, okay, in a form that, okay, yeah, you take this and you take this cookie and break it up into four or whatever and one a day or whatever, you know. But, I mean, I think it is a step in the right direction because, like, back in the day, I forget where this was, but, like, in the 1902 or something around there, there was a thing, I think it might have been in France or whatever, where this guy did some, he was on absinthe, and they blamed that for his killing, or England or somewhere, and it was banned. And almost all the world banned it because they claimed this compound and stuff and absinthe and all this was why he was responsible for doing all this violent acts and all this stuff. And a guy actually, I think in somewhere down, like in the southern states, like either Louisiana or Texas, studied it and found an old, old bottle. And when he tested it and said that there was hardly any of this compound in there that they claim caused it, and he said there's no way that this compound could have caused what happened to make it become illegal, you know, because, well, this compound was the reason why he did all this violent act, and because of that, now it's legal again in the U.S., but I think that compound has to be below a certain level and stuff, but... You know, it's one of those that I think now that, like, people are starting to wake up and realize that, hey, there is actually some truth to this. Even though less than 1% of its time on planet Earth, cannabis has been illegal. You know, for many centuries, it's been used. You know, Model A's used to have parts of the bodies were made out of hemp plastic. It was durable, more durable, it was lightweight. You know, and I think people are starting to actually wake up. And actually in Indiana, they've passed a law that all Mike Pence has to do is sign it. And it'll allow for the growing of hemp in Indiana and be able to grow a CBD-rich hemp that has to be below 3% THC. So it's going to be cool to see because Mike Pence is, I guess, expected to pass it. But then I know it's going to be very, very highly regulated to where, like, if you're able to grow it, you're going to have your plants tested and all this stuff, and you're going to have to really, you'd have to know what the heck you're doing. I mean, a novice person just, and you'd probably have to have lots of money. It'd probably be something where, okay, you'd have to have like $200,000, you know, just to be able to consider growing it and all this stuff for liability. And then they claim, well, technically, you're still breaking federal law if you grow it, so... You know, because technically they claim they can still go, the feds can still go and raid Colorado. You could actually be in a cannabis shop in Colorado and they could still raid it and go after you because you're still technically breaking federal law. So, but I really don't think that's a priority right now because, you know, we got this huge Black Lives Matter movement. And since racism is the biggest thing, you know, since we're basically back into the civil rights era, you know, that's more important right now. So. But it's just neat to see that actually our neighbor to the north is actually getting to be even more cannabis friendly and stuff. And because they realize that there's that's not a high priority going after, you know, people with cannabis. You know, that actually benefits, and, you know, and I think they're starting to find that in the U.S. the same thing. You know, that, hey, it actually has benefit, and it can actually, when states have looked at Colorado and they're not seeing all this stuff that they were told about for years, it, you know, the increase in crime and violence and all this stuff, you know, I think now they're starting to wake up. You know, people are starting to, you know, learn. That's what I was brought up on. You know, your past doesn't equal your future. You know your history. Like I always say, okay, well, if I'm going to start a restaurant, you know, I'm going to look at one that's successful. And what have they done? I model myself after this restaurant that's successful, not this one that failed. You know, you're going to look at your history. Well, let me see. Do you want to model our country after Greece and what happened recently? I don't think so. You know, some people don't have the brain God gave them. You know, if they could actually show me proof that, okay, this is how we're going to pay for all this, and I can, and they had stuff to back it up, okay, but they can't. I mean, there was a Bernie, I don't even know her name, but there was a Bernie Sanders volunteer that was, I had to talk to Trump supporters, and they were so anti-human and so mean. And really? Because they're probably being factual. Okay, where do you think all this, who do you think's paying for all this free stuff? Well, it's free. What do you mean paying for it? Well, okay, well, yes. I can hand out basketballs all day long for free, but someone has to buy the basketballs. Someone has to make the basketballs. Someone, you know, they may be free. I'm going to hand out free lifesavers. Well, someone has to buy the lifesavers. Someone has to make them first. Someone has to make them, package them, and then someone has to buy them, and here you go. And then I can hand them out for free after I pay for them. See, I paid for them, then I can give them away because I'm a nice guy. But this notion that everything is going to be free, I mean, that's sorry, but, you know, the Constitution doesn't guarantee you're not going to be offended. I think that girl needs a pair. She needs to grow a pair. I mean, yeah. I mean, I have people that tee me off that are very, very progressive, but, you know, it's, I just, because they're ignorant and they don't really, I don't know. They, but just for that lady to be, oh, they're unhuman. I'm like, okay, unhuman. Let me see here. Where does illegal immigrants, what does that have to do with race? Okay, it has nothing. If I'm from Poland and I'm white and I'm here illegally, guess what? I'm illegal. He could come from Mexico. He's illegal. We're two China. Totally different races, but we're both illegal.
China.
Yeah.
Australia. England.
It doesn't matter. If you're illegal, you're illegal. It has nothing to do with race. But that's how it is. I mean, it's the double standard. A Democrat could be saying the same thing Trump would say, and they'd be kissing his butt. You know, it's like when the Democrats tried to block Republicans from nominating a Supreme Court justice, oh, praise them for doing that. But now Republicans are doing it, and it's like, evil, evil, you evil, heathen, you bad Republicans, you wolf. You know, it goes back to the double standard, folks, and that's what gets me. You know, if you don't, if take Donald Trump, for example, if he's saying what he's saying, it shouldn't matter whether he's right, left, or whatever. You either agree with him or you don't agree with him. It's the bottom line. But, you know, that's how this game works. It's a game of double standards, folks. And I harp on it, but it's like people, you know, they don't get it. You know, like I told one person, well, there's no double standard, okay? Well, then you show me that every single solitary penny that has been racked up in debt is all Republican. Because they both want to cut spending. No, Republicans and Democrats spend. But then they try to, well, yeah, Republicans just want to go to war. No, Republicans don't just want to go to war. But when someone takes down the Twin Towers, I don't think there's, maybe Democrats are like this, but I would hope if someone hits you in the street and tries to beat you up that you try to defend yourself. I would hope so, you know, just like, hey, the Twin Towers came down, and will we know the whole story behind how they came down or whatever? I doubt it. But they came down, we had to do something. We have to fight back. You know, we can't be seen as a nation of people that won't, that we can't seem like we're a nation that goes to war or wants to fight all the time, but we can't be seen as a nation of hippies that are whiny little babies that don't want to fight and don't, because then we'll just get run over. Well, we can do whatever we want because the U.S. ain't going to do anything. We're just going to keep building uranium and keep building nuclear weapons and stuff because what's the U.S. going to do? You know, we can't be a nation that's seen that all we're going to do is go to war every time we feel like it and just kill people. But we can't be seen as a nation of, excuse my French, pussy. I want to move on now to a really, really big debate that's really, really, really going to make, it's going to have a big impact on our future. It's the unlocking of the iPhone. Yes, it is a terrorist that the government is trying to get to unlock the iPhone. You know, granted, it's a terrorist's phone that they're trying to unlock. But what designates a terrorist in terms of, well, I understand because this guy is dangerous unlocking his phone, but then it's going to open up Pandora's box. Because then they'll, well, yes, we're the FBI and we believe this guy is a threat. We need to, okay. And he may not be. Because the government may say, okay, well, he's someone on the right and we need to go after him. We need to get into his phone. We need to unlock it. We need to get into him. And we need to try to stop him from, you know, because if they unlocking the phone for this guy who's a terrorist, when does it end? When will they, you know, it's kind of like I've said in the past, we're going to make sure that there's more background checks on stuff so that, you know, for gun owners, so that when you buy a gun, you know, you just have to go through some more background checks. You know, we're not banning guns. We're not doing this. It's a simple little thing. Well, let's get this. Let's make Apple unlock this terrorist iPhone. Well, it's just a simple little gun law. But then when they take and there's two shootings or three shootings, all it takes is one shooting, and they can say, well, I don't think this gun law is stringent enough. Let's take and add on to this law and compound it. And then before you know it, that little law that was nothing. Well, okay, now they're banning guns. Now they're, well, we're going to restrict. We don't think you should say this on the air. Okay, I respect that. You shouldn't be able to say, you know, I think you should be able to say anything, but they'll make it to where, yeah, there's certain things you shouldn't say on the air. And then, okay, I agree with that. And then they'll, well, yeah, we don't. And then when does it stop? Because then they'll just, well, if let's, we don't want you to say this or that, but then they, well, now we're going to make it so you can't say this, and before you know it, you don't have freedom of speech. Yeah, should they open that guy's iPhone? I think, in a way, for national security, I think yes, but then you're going to open up Pandora's box, because then what's going to justify them saying no to opening an iPhone? Or who knows what they're going to say to get Apple to let them open up someone's iPhone. It may just be a Tea Party conservative group that's trying to gain momentum, and they're trying to keep them down. So let's open up this iPhone. Let's see if we can, like, you know, smear them, make them look bad, you know. It's only, you know, because it's gonna have big, big, big implications moving forward, because what justifies them opening an iPhone, and who's gonna be the ultimate judge of saying, okay, yes, you can open this iPhone or that iPhone? I mean, I could see you could say, okay, the CEO of Apple will give the okay to open this iPhone or that iPhone. If it ever, but I'm glad that they're sticking to the guns saying no, because then where do you draw the line on opening iPhones? When will it end? And then, I mean, then your privacy, then you won't have any. You know, and then before you know it, it's like, but then again, like, I'm one of these people that, like, when it comes to Facebook, if I post it on Facebook, I would get on the evening news and say, I'm not putting something on Facebook that I'm not gonna, that I don't want, that I would, yeah, that I'm not gonna care if the world knows. You know, the only thing I kind of do that's private is just my support group. And, you know, and that's other than that, and it's just so that, you know, people getting on there know that they're able to laugh, cry, vent whatever, their frustrations, because I've even vented on there with people that understand what I'm going through, that have a myopathy or have this. You know, and I actually have some friends on Facebook, you know, that because of it, you know, and we just, you know, and it's, I guess it's a blessing, because I never would have, I mean, who would ever thought that, because I started the whole thing basically on me, because I used to, because like, there was a part of my life, and I'm sure we're all like that, where you can't tell, no one could tell me what to do. I wouldn't listen to nobody. It's me, I don't care. It's all about what I want. Gimme. And I found out that don't work. And, you know, that's how kind of the support group started. I'm like, I need help. And it was very slow. And I'm like, okay, I almost deleted it at one point. And now I've got almost 200 people. And it's just amazing to see what God's done with that group. And just having, you know, and I tell people all the time on there, like, don't hesitate to message me if you want to talk or whatever, vent, cry, whatever. You know, even if write me a message just for me to read, to get something off your chest, do it. That's what I'm there for. That's why I started this group. You know, to know you're not alone. To know that it sucks, kind of, okay, well, this is as far as they can go with the diagnosis, and, you know, we just gotta, anytime you have an issue, let's write it down, and it's like a puzzle piece. And let's see if we can put this puzzle together, so, you know. You know, so, anywho, and that's just where it is, you know, I mean, as you know, it's a great thing, but that's, besides stuff that's posted on that, you know, like, most of the stuff, on, like, if I have a Facebook, but I don't care if anyone sees it, I mean, if you know, that's just how I am. I'm not posting something on there that I don't want no one to know about. But, and that's just me, you know. But my wife says she's different. I knew that. And I think it's enough about that being said, you know. It's just going to be interesting to see when as we get back to the iPhone thing, you know, what comes out of that. Because it's going to ultimately... So ultimately going to come down to, okay, if they unlock that phone, then where do you draw the line between not opening a phone and opening a phone? And then you'll have a case where, well, you unlock this phone, and I think, but you didn't unlock this phone, and this phone, I mean, to me, you should have unlocked this phone big time. This is way bigger than this one. But you open this phone, but not this one, and you're going to, it's just going to be like a, I don't know, it's just going to be a mess. Kind of like, I guess, like I said earlier, you know, we're turning into a nanny state where, okay, well, we're going to charge you $75 if you don't wear a seatbelt. Well, you should wear a seatbelt, but the government should, not in Indiana. I guess it's 200 and, well, it's like 25, I think, depending what state you're in, the 200 or whatever. But, you know, you should wear your seatbelt, but the government shouldn't have to force you to with a fine, you know. And it's just going to be, where do you draw the line? And enough said, folks. And this has been, there's about 13 minutes left in the program. I'm so close to it. And it's just been an interesting program. And I want to thank you all, as always, for tuning in. I mean, because the show wouldn't exist without you guys. And it's just one of those things that I think we're slowly getting people to wake up. And I think it's a good thing as we move forward in this country and people are starting to wake up. And, you know, I'm just so glad that I grew up in an age where we went outside and we did stuff instead of, you know, there's a picture and it shows a bunch of people sitting around playing guitars and, you know, banging drums or whatever and just singing. And it goes, I'm glad I grew up in that time frame instead of like three people in the back of a car with their heads in their iPhones. And I'm glad I grew up when I did. And I'm glad I grew up around the family that, you know, that made sure you knew where you come from and your history. Because that's what's missing from this country big time. And that's, I don't want to get into something, this has gone viral, of course, big time. That autistic kid that was asked to the prom by the cheerleader. And I just think that is just so awesome, you know, because it's really shows genuineness from her part. It's not like she's doing it for any like monetary gain or any like popularity thing. She is genuinely doing this, and you know, and there's some people that ask if it was recent and all this, and they want to like, some guy offered to buy their limousine and stuff and for the thing. So it's kind of neat. And he goes, I don't know if this is real, but I guess there's a lot of outpouring where people want to help and, you know, do stuff for him for the prom and all this. And I think it's just amazing. You know, I think it's really great. Because like when we went up to about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I think it was, or maybe even more, when we went and met the family halfway in Michigan City, and I bought that vet's dinner. I didn't do it for popularity. I didn't do it for monetary gain. I did it because it's the right thing to do, you know. I gave back to somebody a little bit for what he did for us. It's not about being prideful. It's about, hey, you know, I hope someday the spoon's in the other hand. You know, I help feed people now, and I hope someday someone will help feed me and my wife, you know, when we get up there in age, if we're lucky to make it that long, you know, and be 90 years old. I hope someone's there to be there for us like I am for them.
I have 7 nieces and nephews. They will take care of us.
So, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, it's just, I think it's great that what that girl did. And I don't know much about autistic people. I don't know if, I mean, I don't want to confuse them, so I don't know if they're the type of people that, like, okay, you take 3.14, the number pi, and is that the type of people that can
no.
memorize it up to, like, 5,000?
No, they don't show enough things. You don't touch and they're in their own
office. Okay, because I didn't know if he's going to be one, like,
they
I put
can,
my...
They can come in. They can be like.
So was the guy, Dustin Hoffman, that played Rain Man, was he autistic?
He was a former
autistic. I didn't know if this kid was going to be one that's like, I poopy my pants.
No.
And then just not really know. I didn't know if, I'm not dissing anybody, because I support that guy 1,000,000%. You know, I'm going to look it up and just see more about what they are, just because I want to know, you know, about him, you know. And I think it's great that some of this stuff, with all the negativity going around, that there's actually some really great things going on. And, you know, I just think it's, I mean, because that girl could have dated anybody. Yeah. I'm just wondering, where was my cheerleader when I was in high school? Actually, I had a girlfriend at the time, so I'm with her, but I'm just saying, no cheerleader came up to me and said, hey, buddy. But, see, God has a plan. And
I see.
Yeah, he does. That's why I'm married to my beautiful wife. Seriously. I mean, I wouldn't, okay, if I was to go in the computer program and I was to design a woman, I don't think I could have designed a better woman than my wife, and there's a reason for that. And, you know, and that's going to profoundly change this boy's life. She does not really know what that's going to do to that kid. You know, how many kids like that are ever going to get the chance to go to the prom? He's going to get that chance. And I just thank her parents, because their parents raised a great lady. Now on to some even more exciting news. As you all know, if you're a follower of football, which I don't know how many are followers of football on my radio program, but Manchester United defeated FC Midland 5-1 in the Europa League to make it to the final 16 with a 6-3 aggregate win. It is incredible. Marcus Rashford scored 2 goals in the 63rd minute and the 75th minute. Memphis Depay scored 1 in the 90th minute. Endo Herrera scored 1 in the 87th minute. And Nati actually got an own goal in the 32nd minute. It was just, I mean, for us not having that great of games, and to see Marcus Rashford, who is an 18-year-old academy graduate that was local, making his first pro debut with 2 goals, I mean, that we needed that, because we needed to win, because it's kind of like, it's one of those games where we should have won, you know, and if we didn't win, it's like, okay, what's going on here? So it was just incredible, you know. And I'm gonna laugh if we go off in a high note and we end up like winning out and end up winning the Premier League or something, and then they get rid of Louis van Gaal. I'd be like, really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but, I mean, I guess Mourinho has commented that, you know, a couple people said that Mourinho said that he wants to get them back to their winning ways and this and that. I'm like, gee, your winning ways like you had at Chelsea? I'm just saying, I mean, they were doing so well at Chelsea this year that they got rid of him. You know, that's unfortunate, because he is their most successful manager in their history, you know. So it's just, I'm just grateful for the game that we had today, and we played so well. And I didn't have time to, because normally I would get on to Talk Sport Radio and listen to it, and I didn't have a chance to, so I was just following it on my Yahoo Sports app, and it was just incredible. We were busy at work today, so I didn't have much time to look into it. And of course, a lot of these games are on, like, the Fox Sports 2, which we don't get, because you have to get a higher-up package and all this stuff. And it's like, I just wish you could, because it's just like, okay, take away these channels I never watch and give me these 4 channels that are in the upper package, and I'd be happy. You know, but no, they can't. I mean, I'm going back to, actually talked about, I forget why he explained why they really can't. Like, if you did a pay-per-channel, like, okay, like 10 cents or whatever, and you can pick the channels you want, channels like MSNBC wouldn't even be there, because no one watches them. But, you know, but that's a whole other story. I mean, you know, a lot of these, I mean, we have Al Jazeera Network on our TV, but we can't get the Blaze. Explain that one to me. That's all I'm going to say. You know, but going back to United, you know, it's just they've had, I think we're actually starting to be a real football team, because we're having ups and downs. You know, we're having great games, we're having games, and like, what the heck happened? You know, and I think that's the problem. So many of the fans are used to the Alex Ferguson, where it's not if we win, but it's by how much. And it's like, you know, we need to get back to reality, and You know, yeah, we'll get back to being a great, great team, but we need to get into the reality that we're not going to win every game. We're going to lose some, we're going to win some, but we're going to be Reds fans till the day we die. You know, and I'll support them till the day I die, no matter what. Win, lose, or draw. It's just exciting to me. And it's just great, you know, to see them play so well today. And just, I love the fact that he's bringing people from the academy and these young players up. And, you know, and I hope that continues because that's a tradition at Manchester United. Let's get guys in young, get them trained, and get them to play for us and get them, you know, and that's just, I love that so much. And I hope that continues and it's going now. And as I move on really quickly, there's a guy, I don't even know what his name is, but he started work a couple days ago, and he actually plays rugby. And I'm like, you play rugby? I said, yeah. He goes, I love it. I said, well, I was actually in Paris in 2007 for the World Cup. She goes, no way. I'm like, yeah, and it was just incredible. Because, I mean, like, you walk down the street, everyone could tell you what the scores were, who was going on, what was winning. I come back to Chicago. Oh, Rugby World Cup, what's that? Well, I said, what's going on with the World Cup? What do you mean World Cup? World Cup's not happening. Yeah, it is, the Rugby World Cup. What's rugby? Okay, I know it's new to people in the States, but, you know, it's just, it's cool. And just to find someone else, I've actually found someone that actually understands it, you know, and I'm like, and I said, I've got actually the last two games of the World Cup or like one game, like the last game and like one before the last, the very last game, the championship game I got recorded. The one before that was pay-per-view, so I don't have it, but the game before that I have recorded. And the very last game they actually went through and they actually gave explanations because I guess they realized a lot of Americans don't understand it. And it's a really neat thing to watch, you know, so you can learn why they do what they do and, you know, why they're doing what they're doing. And to have someone that actually I've met that plays it and actually understands it, it's rare. So, you know, because it's not that huge of a sport in America, and it's just kind of cool, you know. But I got about a minute 40 left in the program, folks. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in and, you know, and taking an hour out of your day to listen to me. It just means the world because, you know, I think we are in this country making a difference, you know. And people are starting to see that got about 90 seconds left. And I think people are starting to really see, hey, look at what Obama said he was going to do and what hasn't happened. They're starting to realize that it's not a party. It's not like, well, the Republican said this and you're getting a lot of these, oh, I support Obama 100%. He's the greatest. I won't have to do anything. Wait a minute. Everything my bills are more expensive, everything, groceries are more expensive, this and that. So, it's just amazing to see people on the left now starting to wake up and realize that, hey, we've been taken by someone that I thought was going to save us. But I'll leave you with this question, though. Is it too little, too late? My answer is yes and no, because I think, yeah, in some ways it is, but maybe they'll wake up and in this next election they'll say, hey, we're going to move forward. We're going to try, let's try someone else. You know, if you think you got screwed by this person, let's try someone else. Hey, I bought something off eBay from this seller. I didn't like him. Well, let's try someone else. You know, that's why you have an election every 4 years. And until next week, folks, I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Until next week, God bless you and good night. Take care. Goodbye.